You're listening to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide with Bart Zandbergen, your distinguished host and certified financial planner.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I am your host, Bart Zandbergen. In studio, as usual, we have our engineer, Paul. Paul, how are you?
I'm good.
How was that three-day weekend?
It was not a three-day weekend. I had to work on Monday.
All right. Well, sorry to hear that. Also in studio today, we have a very special guest, Adrian Hernandez of Intero Real Estate Services.
I'm excited. Thank you, Bart, for having me on.
Hey, thanks for being here. So, little backdrop. I met Adrian at the gym, actually.
Yes.
And it's not very often where you meet someone, and I'm gonna refer to you as a millennial.
Absolutely.
Because you fall in that category. But someone that is so driven and so disciplined to show up at the gym at 4:30 or 5 every morning, yes. To which I thought, you know, this is someone that I'm going to have to meet and find out what he's all about. And the more I got to know of him and the more we got to know of each other, I realized that he really has his act together and runs a really good business. So, Adrian, if you don't mind, just before we get started, you mind telling the listeners a little bit about yourself and your practice and, you know, how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that introduction, Bart.
Sure.
That was a good one. Yeah, so I'm Adrian Hernandez. I'm a real estate agent and broker. I manage and coach at Intero Real Estate Services in Mission Viejo, where I'm a partner of in that office. And at the same time, I sell traditional real estate on the resale side, also do with investments as far as flipping real estate and investing in real estate.
Sure. So I always find it intriguing. You've been doing real estate. My guest last week, she's been doing investments since she was in first grade.
Huh.
And now I don't think you were quite in first grade, but you started your career pretty young, right?
Very young, yeah.
So tell us a little about that.
So thankfully, my parents are real estate brokers. So I've been transaction coordinating for my mom when I was 12 years old.
All right, so not far off.
Yeah. So all in that realm. And it's a funny story because my ninth grade English teacher made us write pretty much like a prophecy to when we were older. And that prophecy is me having a successful real estate team down by the water, down by the ocean. I didn't know where that was going to be. Now, mind you, I was living inland at that time. So it's great to see, and it's pretty surreal to see that unfold and come to fruition. So
yeah. All right. That's awesome. Well, I love that. All right. So I'm going to kind of continue on that millennial subject for just a second. And this is kind of a two-pronged question. So what is your take on millennials being 40% of the buyers in our market, our real estate marketplace today? And does the approach to millennials change as the market tightens?
That's a great question. I'm really excited the fact that we are 40% of the buyer pool, because for a while, everybody was saying, are the millennials going to buy? They're all renters, right?
Yeah, right.
And so the fact that we are buying, it's great, but at the same time, I want to make sure that they have the right information. Millennials need the value proposition that's going to be placed in front of them to understand what buying a home looks like. What are the entire steps to go through it? I can go on my phone right now and get pre-approved for a loan to buy a property.
And how long?
In the course of a minute.
A
couple of minutes. Boom, right on my phone.
Yeah.
So that worries me because do they know all of the costs that is associated when they're buying a property? Do they know what that looks like in 15 years? Do they know their different options? And so what I think, and to answer your question is I think that it's good to see the millennials buying. I guess my tip would be to make sure that you're getting the right information when purchasing the property and getting your loan. I think that's going to be the biggest difference right now. It's just because of the whole instant, I can get a loan and I can buy a house online thing that's going on right now.
Yeah. You know, I was always under the impression, I was surprised to read that number about the 40%, because I think the general public, and I was included in that, was that millennials were a little less interested. They wanted the freedom, so to speak, or the flexibility. And so you're not seeing that.
I'm not. You have a few of them that have that entrepreneur or that freedom spirit where they're going to go do whatever they want to do. But for the majority of them, they're getting married, they're having kids. And I mean, if I look at all of my friends from high school, majority of them are married with kids and buying houses right now.
Okay. All right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, that is for sure. And so the second half of that, does the approach to millennials change as the market tightens?
It does. And it goes back down to what I was talking about. The value needs to change.
Yeah.
As the market tightens, as the prices change, as the inventory changes, as what we're experiencing right now, the millennials need to be set up in a value proposition with the right agent, with the right lender, with the right financial planner to make sure that everything is, all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, and they know what they're getting into. And it's not a, oh, hey, I watched a video on YouTube and now I'm buying a house.
Yeah.
And I get that all the time.
Okay. So you do handle them maybe a little bit differently than you would someone that is later on in their lifespan or career?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going through every single number with them. We're breaking it down. The lender's breaking it down. I'm having them reach out to people like yourself, Bart, saying, yeah, hey, make sure that you know what you're getting into. What are your tax deductions? What does that look like after you've owned the property for 2 years? Do you know where your numbers are at? I don't think I know. It's what millennials need to know when buying a property.
Okay, well, let's kind of move on from there. So what would be your advice to either a new or a seasoned agent who wants to help more consumers?
Understand your market, understand what the tax implications, what the state, what the government is doing, and the value proposition that goes behind that, and how you can not just provide the knowledge to your consumer, mm-hmm, but show them what has taken place in the past and really guide them to the ultimate home ownership. I'm not talking about putting them in the car, showing them the first house and writing a contract. I'm talking about the right guidance,
yeah,
the information, the stuff that's in between the lines that nobody wants to talk about. And as a professional, if you can take yourself and spend an hour, I got this from my coach, spend an hour every single day learning and reading something about your profession, that compound effect that's going to take place over the course of the year is going to be huge, and you will be a master in your area.
Yeah.
But to really answer your question here, Bart, we need to get very serious about knowing our market, very serious about what do the consumers need for value to buy a home, not, oh, hey, here's a home loan, go buy a property. What is everything that goes into it?
Okay.
And I think that's huge going into the marketplace.
Yeah. All right. That's interesting. All right. So we're going to switch gears a little bit. Tax Reform Act.
Yes.
Okay. So that was passed in December of last year. A lot of new laws, a lot of new updates, and most of it's still being absorbed, I understand it. Even the IRS hasn't really completely absorbed it from what I can tell.
Right.
One of the ones that I think affects both you and me and my business is the new limit deductibility of a mortgage, $750,000.
Yeah.
So I have my opinion on what that's going to do with the real estate market. What's yours?
Well, my opinion is that it's obviously going to decrease the inventory, which we're already experiencing. I feel like that's only going to get more tight. That's only going to tighten. And at the same time, prices are going to flatten. But what I do know about, or what I would say, is that when you look at the tax reform, for the most part, it's really affecting where we're at, the coastal areas, right?
Mm-hmm.
The high-end areas, the yeah, Beverly Hills, the above a million. The average sales price, if you look at anywhere else, is what, $400,000? So it really won't affect them too much.
Now, you're talking $400,000 average in California, or are you talking about the nation?
We're talking California. If you look inland,
yeah,
right? If you look inland,
yeah,
you're at a $400,000 average sales price.
All right, so if we average all of California, is that 400,000? Are you saying just inland empires or inland California?
I'm just talking about inland California.
Okay.
Now, if we
okay,
take a look at nationwide, we're like, yeah, $200,000 on a nationwide
right,
perspective. The tax reform's not going to have too much of a concern
of
on that.
Right.
But when we look at the high-end areas, we
yeah,
do. And I do see that changing the market. I do see that changing the inventory. I do see that bringing us into what's called a normal market, where properties take longer to sell,
yeah,
where the supply is just as equal as there are the demand, and that's going to happen due to the interest rates also. So it's all coming together.
Yeah. Yeah, you actually just took my next question. The interest rates, I think, for sure are going to impact, right?
Right? Absolutely.
I mean, you've still got, what's your percentage of cash buyers? Is it large?
25% in our business.
Okay. That's still pretty high for,
yeah,
you know, writing seven figure, maybe eight figure checks.
Right. And I'm seeing $1 million, $2 million cash buyers,
yeah,
quite often.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is interesting.
All right. And I tend to agree with you. I think it's going to have some impact, some areas more than others, and definitely the states that are. So we've got California, we've got New York, New Jersey, the coastal states for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and then one thing we got to think about, Bart, is we're buying a $1.1 million home. This tax reform, if you take a look at it in numbers, and you're at an interest rate of 4%, and your average tax bracket's 25%. So that means if you look at what the tax reform did, you're in essence spending an additional $200 a month. When you're buying $1 million home,
yeah,
don't know if
$2 million
is going to really make or break your idea of,
yeah,
of saying yes or no.
So, but don't forget, there's more than just that. There's the salt, right? The elimination of salt. So
right,
the property tax. I think there's going to be those buyers that were maybe on the limit and said, hey, if I can't deduct more than $10,000, if I can't deduct a property tax, if I can't deduct more of $750,000, you know, maybe not. Or maybe I'm not going to buy as expensive of a house, which I think could possibly compress.
Absolutely. And the move up buyers are going to second guess it. Yeah. They're going to think twice and go, okay, exactly. Does this make sense? So now we are dealing with people that would have sold between the 400 to 700 mark that are now saying no because of the tax reform, and now they're not buying that $1.5 million house.
Yeah.
And that can be a big deal.
Because the mortgage deduction is grandfathered, correct?
Right.
And the SALT is not. That's just for regardless.
Right. And yeah. then in 2026, something's supposed to occur at that point.
Yeah. It's called, it basically goes away.
Right.
Right. All right. I think we're going to have time for a quick break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare, by 2 with double points on gas and groceries, and a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over 1 million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
All right, back to Bart and his guest.
All right, welcome back. Let's finish up on that tax reform. So we may or may not see a compression on prices, and we both agree we could probably see something. How do you think that's going to affect inventory?
Well, with the what we were just talking about with the move-up buyers, I feel like that's going to drastically affect inventory, as most of them are not going to be too intrigued to go buy that $1 million, $2 million house. And then something we got to think about is, are that $1 million, $2 million, are those homeowners going to start saying, hey, California, what are we doing? And does this make sense for me to get my money out of here? I mean, that's personally what I'm experiencing. You know, I recently had two sellers say, they called me, the whole tax reform happened. They said, Adrian, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm out. We're going to Florida.
Yeah.
When can you list my house?
Yeah.
I see both of those going on, but it's going to be interesting to see if they do sell, if those people do happen to sell, will the $650 to $700 say, okay, $300 to $200 a month isn't that big of a deal to see that happening. Well, that's going to have a lot to do effect on the interest rates.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, I'm seeing the same thing. I've had a handful of clients that, either have moved their location for sure, and either they've retired and or moved, and or said, I'm just going to move my business. I've had a client that moved to Texas, whole business, all employees, everything.
Yeah,
so it happens. Like I started by saying, I find you to be unique for what you've accomplished at your age and so forth.
Thank you.
Tell us about your average day. I know you're at the gym early, so tell us how your day starts and how it ends.
So it's funny. I just did a YouTube video on this on my daily schedule, and I'm getting a bunch of messages on. Helping them. So
I didn't know that, but go ahead.
Yeah. So in essence, I wake up at 5 o'clock, or I'm sorry, 4:30 in the morning, and my goal is to be at the gym by 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So at the gym by 5, I'm out of there by 6. I'm in the office by 7. And then from 7 to 7:30, I'm just mindset, I'm doing affirmations, I'm writing down gratitude, what I'm happy about,
nice,
all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And then I go straight into role play. So I role play for 30 minutes, and that's just me mastering my craft, working on different scenarios. And then I get straight on the phones, and I'm lead generating. I'm looking for buyers. I'm looking for sellers.
Yeah.
I do that for 4 hours. I do that till 12 o'clock every single day. Yeah. Rather, if I'm calling real estate agents or people that are looking to buy, people are looking to sell, or just leads that we've received from online. So I do that till 12. 12, I go into follow-up. 1 o'clock, I take a quick little lunch, which is typically at my desk.
Yeah.
And then 2 o'clock, I'm working on the business, which is actually inside of it, different systems. What can I get better at? How can I get better?
Yeah.
And then 3 o'clock is typically appointment time, from 3 to 4. And then from 4 to 6, I'm back on the phones.
Okay. All right. And you're recently married, so you got to have some family life balance, right?
Yes.
So you're home by what time?
6 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. For the most part, 6 o'clock. And when I'm home, I'm home.
Yeah.
Right. And so
where's your phone go when you get home? Is it close by or do you put it on the shelf?
We just created a rule where they have to stay. We have a little shelf right when you walk in. They have to stay there. First two.
Yeah.
Because we both catch ourselves scrolling and we're both on the couch. The TV's on, the computer's on, and their phones are on. And it's just like, okay, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay. Well, it's glad to know I'm not alone. I have wasn't self-inflicted. My wife makes me put my phone away when I get home. So
it's funny. I do. So every week I set intentions, right?
Yeah.
And this week my intention was be fully present when you're there.
Yeah.
When you're there, be there.
That's a good one.
That's
I like that. So you've obviously received a lot of coaching. You do a lot of coaching. Give a couple ideas, like what are a couple of nuggets that you that either you've garnished over the years and or that you are telling your people that you coach?
Biggest thing I can say, and you touched on this part, your morning routine. With any profession, I'm sure you can agree, the morning routine is, it's, I think of it as a rubber band, right? You wake up early, you stretch the rubber band.
Yeah.
You get a workout in, you stretch the rubber band. You do some affirmations, you stretch the rubber band. You got a good meal, you stretch the rubber band. But by the time you go to do the activity, you let that rubber band go and, right? It's all that energy. It's everything there. So if I can give an advice, create a solid morning routine.
Yeah.
And then the schedule is just as, the schedule is going to be your boss. If you're an independent contractor, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're running a business, your schedule is your business and that's your boss and that determines everything.
Yeah, right.
So that would be a huge tip I would give to everybody.
Okay. And when you say schedule, do you actually, like, do you put your workout in your schedule? You put your lunchtime in your schedule?
Absolutely.
Everything?
Yeah. You start the schedule with you and your family.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. You come first, your family, and then from there you put in your workout. When are you going to go enjoy your time and then business and then have it all time blocked?
Okay.
Yeah. And so we sit it with our agents and we completely go through that. We sit with our agents and we break down their schedule. I figure out what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, and the adjustments. I won't say what they're doing wrong, but just the adjustments that we can make to make them more productive and efficient.
Okay, great. All right, we're going to take another really quick break, and we'll be right back.
All right, awesome.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Higher.
When it comes to pioneers in their respective industries, we all know the Apples, Starbucks, and Trader Joe's of the world. In the realm of recruiting, Decision Toolbox is the industry's best-kept secret. With 90% of their business from referrals and repeat customers, for over 20 years, Decision Toolbox's U.S.-based team of recruiters, sourcers, professional writers, quality personnel, and tech support has perfected a Six Sigma approach to talent management. No matter the size of the project, Decision Toolbox delivers incredible results. A cost per hire less than half of what contingency firms charge. With the winning candidate presented in an average of 14 days. All with a 12-month candidate warranty. With results like that, Decision Toolbox won't be a secret for long. Visit us at www.dtoolbox.com for more information.
All right, back to wrap things up with Bart and his guest.
Nice. All right, so let's kind of circle back to the real estate. So with everything we've talked about, you know, possible, well, we know interest rates are rising and we have the Tax Reform Act, all that's going on. What are some of the things that let's sellers need to know if they're getting ready to sell a house right now?
And that's a phenomenal question. And this is really big for those of you that have thought about selling or those in the market of selling. There's a lot of companies out there that will list your home for just about anything, right? List it for $100 and then you got to pay it the outside commission. So I want to say the first thing that they need to know is what they pay for is what they're going to get. A lot of sellers in this marketplace, because the market is hot, they're thinking they can maybe do it on their own, or they may be thinking they can get a discount agent.
Yeah.
I just want you to be aware. I've personally experienced the last five clients, the last five sales we've had.
Yeah.
I deal a lot with expired listings, and each of them sat on the market for over 90 days. Wasted a lot of time, had no idea what the selling process was. One of them wasn't even explained what contingencies were. And it's because right now, Bart, everybody has a real estate license.
Yeah.
And they're hiring everybody. So I would say sellers, be aware, make sure that the agent that you hire knows what they're doing. Make sure that they understand the neighborhood. And when you ask them, hey, are you willing to cut your commission? And if they automatically roll over and yes, I'll do whatever you want, I want you to run for the hills because they're more than likely going to do it with your sales price.
Yeah.
And I see that quite often. So just make sure that the value is there and that the agent knows what they're doing and ask them a couple of questions. Say, hey, what is the turnover ratio in my neighborhood? Or, hey, I'm curious to know, what is the absorption rate here? You know, if you look at this entire area, what do you think the absorption rate is? And to give sellers, you know, what an absorption rate is if you take all the active, all the pending, all the closed, and all of the properties that are under contract. You add them up. Let's say it's 100. And then you take the number that sold, and let's just say 10 of them sold.
Okay. Right?
You're going to divide that two.
Okay.
That's going to give us a percentage.
Okay.
That percentage is the absorption rate in the area. That's going to tell us what is the market demanding and what's the average percentage that your property has to sell based on what the market has to offer.
Okay. Somebody just tweeted in a question you just answered, what is the absorption rate? And somebody then followed it and said, where would you go find this? How would I know?
Yeah. Redfin would probably be the best source. Zillow doesn't bring up everybody, so I would be aware of the Zillow, right? But this is a question to ask them to see if they even respond. Hey, do you know what the absorption rate is? And your listing agent goes, it kind of gives you that tilt head. You should probably think a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Right? To a certain degree, you get what you pay for, kind of, with real estate agents?
To the extreme.
Yeah.
You wouldn't put a Rolex for sale in a garage sale, would you?
Yeah, correct. Right.
So we got to be careful.
Yeah. So I had a neighbor, and it's the first time I've seen this sign. He said it was really big, and there's a funny end to the story, but he goes, oh, these guys are really big in Europe and in Canada. Purple bricks.
Yeah.
Sign was up for 3 months, and then the sign went down, and some other agents went up. So that's that's almost a do-it-yourself, isn't it? It's like an online.
Yeah. You pay an agent like $500 or $1,000, and they represent you. I believe it's a huge malpractice in the industry.
Oh, really?
I personally believe it is.
Yeah.
Because you're performing malpractice. You're not, you're not fighting for the sales price. You're not providing the negotiation that they need.
Yeah.
This market is calling for a professional.
Yeah.
And if you don't hire a professional, then you'll experience what that's like.
Okay.
Another question here, somebody, and this is kind of one off of my thing here too. If somebody hires an agent, what is that agent going to do to market the property? In a world where all the things are online, everybody sees it, it's all out there. It used to be, well, gee, I run more ads and I've got more offices or something here.
Right.
Or am I looking at it the wrong way? They're not there to market it because the whole world knows instantly you're out there. It's more what they do to get a qualified buyer and to hold the price up. What's the role of the agent these days? To market it or to make the deal?
Well, it's to do both. It's to market the property efficiently, but it's to also, there's a difference. There's passive marketing and there's active marketing. Passive marketing is putting on every single website out there, making sure everybody knows about it. That's very easy to do. I can spend $10,000 right now and it'll go everywhere.
Okay.
Okay, great. Now, active marketing. Are you engaged in the people that are looking at the property? Are you looking at it every single day and going, okay, who do I need to call that can be a prospective buyer for this home? You know, what I personally do when I list a home, I go and I door knock the entire neighborhood. I call the entire neighborhood. I leave voicemails. I'm going to exterior neighborhoods because I'm going to try to find the buyer for this person. I cannot rely on passive marketing like the internet to bring me a buyer. Will it? Eventually. But if your home's not selling, then I got to get out there and I got to find your buyer.
Yeah.
And,
all right.
And I'm going to say that's the biggest thing that an agent needs to do.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, back then it was all marketing.
Yeah.
Now it's, what are you going to do different?
Okay.
How are you going to negotiate when an offer comes in? Are you going to roll over it? Or are you going to make sure that we can get the most amount of money for my home?
Because
I know sellers' number one concern is making sure they don't leave any money on the table.
Right.
And sometimes we'll hire a 4% agent and end up thinking we're saving 2% on commission.
Right.
We end up losing like 10% in the long run.
Penny wise, pound foolish, right?
I love that.
Okay. Short on time. So last question before we wrap up. So we talked about sellers. What about buyers? A couple quick things that buyers should be looking for.
Yeah, same thing, guys. Instant gratification does not going to come down to buying a house. You get away from that, we're going to need to take some time. We're going to need to explore your numbers. There's so many different programs out there, making sure you know what you're getting into. Don't just get pre-qualified. To get pre-qualified, sit down with them and understand what's going on.
Okay.
And then as far as finding listings, making sure that you have an agent that's out there doing the same thing like I'm explaining. Door knocking and actively finding them the property.
Right.
If I have a buyer and there's no listing on the MLS, I'm going to go door knock a neighborhood that they want until I find the house for them.
Yeah. Well, I love your style, Adrian. I love your style. All right. Well, it's certainly been a pleasure having you in the studio with me today. And I have the honor of asking you, this is called my final question, which is, please share with us your ultimate lesson learned as your tenure as a real estate professional.
Patience. We want it tomorrow. That's the biggest lesson that I've learned is I've wanted it yesterday and I'm still dealing it with it today. I want the Ferrari tomorrow. I want the big house tomorrow. I want calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah.
And so patience is the biggest thing that I've learned, and understand that whatever you're doing takes some time.
Yeah.
And it's just like working out, not going to get there tomorrow, and you're not going to get there by waking up and going to the gym once.
That's right. All right. I was just going to say that works in real estate and that works over all aspects of life.
Same thing with your marriage, with your kids. You can't just be nice to them once.
Yes, exactly. I'll tell you for sure, I'm going to have you back sometime. We're going to spend a whole half hour talking about discipline between you and I. I think we're going to have a pretty good show.
Yes. Yes. It's the foundation.
All right. I'm going to throw you a last little zinger. What's your guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. Besides exotic cars.
Well, that's a pretty good guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I would say that. Exotic cars, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
and nice watches.
And nice watches. I've gotten over the watch stage. That was when I was just starting to make some money in real estate. And then I realized, okay, let's maybe go for something that if we resell, we can get our money back.
All right. Well, Adrian, thanks again for being in the studio today. And for those of you who want to learn more about Adrian, you can visit his website at www.intero.com. realestate.com. That's I-N-T-E-R-O realestate.com. Thank you so much, everyone who has tuned in, and we look forward to being back in the studio next week. Cheers.
Appreciate you, Bart.
All right, Adrian.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting www.bartzandbergen.com. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the Zandbergen Report? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com.
The Zandbergen Report is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. The content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host, Bart Zandbergen, or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.